Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to this episode of New Cyber Frontier. On with me today, we have a guest, Ryan Roberts. And we're going to talk with Ryan. He is from Deloitte. He is a senior manager and the lead subject matter expert for all of Colorado. So, and he has a bunch of those acronyms after his name that you recognize in all the cybersecurity guys that we don't even know what they're about, and we're in the middle of the industry. So, but it helps to know that we're all talking the same language. But welcome today, Ryan. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Good to have you. And we are having Deloitte on, and especially Ryan, to talk about an event that happened, a Capture the Flag event at the Armed Forces Communication Electronic Association Rocky Mountain Cyberspace Symposium that happened 2 weeks ago. And they had a great setup, and a lot of young people come in from the universities here local to Colorado to do a Capture the Flag event. Very challenging, because I know some of our guys were there from the university I teach at, and they enjoyed it, and they said, wow, some of these technical challenges were different than they had seen anywhere, and they do Capture the Flag events all over the community in different places. And some of them are working on some of those advanced letters to put after their name as well, based on those type of events. But Ryan, we wanted to talk about that, and take note, if you're watching the video, I'll play some clips that we took from the AVSIA event. You can see how these young people are so diligent and heads down in what they're doing. But Ryan, tell me about what you do, how you got to where you're at first. Just about you. Give us your background.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So I'm about 22 years in the industry. Started out as an infrastructure guy, so pretty strong background in server and network and implementation of those sorts of infrastructures and management. And then probably 6-7 years ago, I started to garner more of an interest in cyber, right? That as a system administrator and an architect, sooner or later, you better start thinking about how to secure these environments. And that really piqued my interest and became my focus. So I think my background in infrastructure serves me well and has allowed me to sort of build a team out here where we're doing the DoD calls defensive cyber operations for some systems out here in Colorado Springs. So great work, important work, and just a phenomenal team of folks out here that I get the pleasure of trying to lead. So
yeah.
Really great.
So do you mostly government work, or do you cross into the private sector? What's your main focus of what you're doing?
Yeah, so Deloitte does all of the above. So both federal as well as commercial. We do some not-for-profit work. So sort of having the power of an organization like Deloitte behind you that's got a pretty impressive information security reputation allows me to sort of cross across different industries and market segments, which is great, right?
Yeah, and Deloitte is one of those kind of the sleeper names. They're huge, but they're behind the scenes. So a lot of people don't hear from them unless you have something big or emergency that needs to happen in your company and the firefighters come in and Deloitte takes care of it.
That's right. Yeah, one of my challenges that Chris, you and I were talking about earlier is that Deloitte has such a strong reputation in several spaces, tax and accounting and those sorts of things, that they sort of shadow, which is an impressive cybersecurity practice. So as I joke, you do not want me doing your taxes, but I'm okay with the cybersecurity stuff, right? So from a Deloitte brand perspective, anything I can do to sort of link Deloitte to the great cyber work we're doing is something I'm interested in.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world.
Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So tell us about the Capture the Flag. First, the guy that set this up, I guess he's one of your employees from overseas. But tell us about what you did and how this came into existence in the first place.
Yeah, so we have a pretty good relationship with AFCEA. Rocky Mountain, obviously the Cyber Symposium. Cyber is a central part of what they're trying to do with that event. So they had a vision, right, of bringing in and sort of having an interactive cyber exercise. So we presented what we have. Deloitte has built what they call the Hackathon Portal, which is basically a CTF range that allows folks to come in and try different challenges. We presented AFCEA with the idea. They liked it. And so we were really just proud and privileged to be able to present the first inaugural AFCEA Capture the Flag tournament this past February.
So when you start putting something like this together in a company, do you do it for internal training? Is that what it started as?
Yeah, it did. It really, for our own practices, right? There's only so much you can read in a book and theorize about, and how do we quickly simulate new threats, new tactics, new systems that we may need to defend. And so Deloitte set about building this range in order to do that internally, and then of course saw the value of bringing this to our clients, both in the setting of a conference like we did with AFCEA, but also as a service that we could bring to clients.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And is this something that you do in partnership with universities, high schools, to get younger people interested as well?
Yes. So I am all in. So one of my biggest fears, of course, is my client's going to call and say, hey, I need 100 of your best cyber folks today, right? Well, as we know, Chris, the supply and demand problem of talented cyber professionals, the demand far outweighs the supply. So I love this CTF environment and the ability to go out into the community, because it allows me to look at our young professionals. It gives them an opportunity to train and get some experience. Mm-hmm. And then really the cream rises to the top, right? It allows me to sort of cultivate relationships with folks that are at university, at high school, that are working on certification, and help to mentor them a little bit. And then of course, selfishly be able to extend a business card to them when they're looking to get a job, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know, this has become such an interest of the younger people. There's one that a company called SecureSet has downtown as well in Colorado Springs every month. And I was just at the one they had last week, and there was probably 60 or 70 kids there. We're talking high school, yeah. Some in college. And there was even some adults there just from the community saying, I'm going to come in and sit down and find out what is going on with this. What's all this buzz about? But this whole, let me do something to practice being in the middle of it, is really growing with that younger population. And I think it's a great thing to have a brand that you can, you know, recognize nationally, like Deloitte, come in and say, hey, here's something, here's what we're seeing all over the world that will help you learn to do the jobs we do.
That's right, and you know, never too young, right? I've got a 6'4" and 2-year-old little girls, and I'm always sitting them down and, you know, trying to show them something around STEM, around cyber, and uh-huh. get them interested in it. And I think part of getting the younger generation interested is this idea of gamification, right? How do we get them engaged in a, you know, forgive the term, but a sort of a Call of Duty like presence? And
I think
and
gamification
atmosphere.
Is the right game. The teaming, the pulling into how can I engage the pleasure centers
right.
in what I'm doing instead of just a menial job that I get bored at.
That's right, and we're looking at ways to how do we, you know, sort of trick them into being taught about some of this technology by way of gamification, and
uh-huh.
even, you know, just teaching them the simple mechanics of cyber, but doing that in a fun way, and then being able to evolve that into where you're actually going into a CTF environment and competing again in a gamification environment. I think that's how we grow our next generation.
Yeah, and you know, my son left. He was working with some of the students that were in the CTF, and he left with this, I'm going to go root my phone. And at first, I'm like, you know, I paid $800 for that phone.
That's right.
You know, but he has got now his phone pulled apart and has the files underneath the operating system that kind of can interrupt all the things that the phone does, set himself his location. He sets his, he's in Beijing when he posts on Facebook, and all that, everything, but all those features to the phone that you see the, every time you install an app, it says, we want access to your contacts.
Yes.
We want access to your location. Well, he's got this thing so he can trick those apps and tell them what he wants them to know. And it's basically, he's 15 and he's working on things that the, you know, the hackers from companies are working on.
Yes.
And that interest though, at that age, they've grown up in this environment where information is everywhere. All this stuff already exists and they just want to learn how to dig into it.
And that passion, that's another thing I'm always looking for, right? Is that I'm not necessarily looking for guys and girls that just are going into the cyber business because it's new or there's a lot of jobs out there. You got to have that passion that your son has, right? I mean, you know, rooting a phone today was my generation's version of taking like the handset apart and figuring out how it works, right? Today they're hacking the phone. Yesterday I just wanted to know how the wires connected, right? So that passion that your son has, that's what I'm trying to cultivate, and we all, in my opinion, should be trying to cultivate in our young cyber folks, so they have that interest inherently, and we can just give them areas where they can flourish, right?
Yeah. So let's take it back a little bit and say, now we teach all these young kids how to hack, how to get in the middle of everything. What about the ones that become bad eggs?
Hopefully they have a white hat on when they go forth. And, you know, part of that, of course, is as part of a society, teaching them how to be good people, right? And the integrity that comes with that. And, you know, what is it, Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, right? I mean, these folks, your son, a great example. I mean, a guy who can root a phone and do those sorts of things. There's a lot of potential for good there and some potential for evil, and steering them to the right, to the white hat, as we would say in the cyber communities, the right way. So,
yeah, and a lot of those professional organizations, people get groups together, the letters we all have after our name, if anybody wonders what that means, here's something we agree to do. We agree to hold a certain set of standards, principles, in order to be a part of this professional member organization.
That's right.
That then, you know, we could lose that accreditation or that certification if we are doing something that's black hat or whatever. So that's why those letters you see, the CISSP, what are some of the ones you have? CISM after our names are just a certification that says I've, one, learned the information I need to, two, have the code of ethics that says I'm going to work under the banner of what's needed to make the cyber society better.
Yes, indeed. And I think there's also sort of, for that white hat that likes the idea of maybe a gray hat, I mean, there is a huge need for red teamers, right? For pen testers whose job it is to go with permission and hack an organization, right? In order to find their vulnerability. So I think you could cultivate that sort of mischievous nature in folks and really use that for good and say, look, we've got jobs where people will pay you to hack their stuff for them and tell them where their vulnerabilities lie. So I think there's ways to really leverage across the community and the personalities and get those skills and use them for good. So
we'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Those skills, that's a big thing, because the conversation about skilled employees always comes up. And you have a big organization. Tell me what type of skills you guys are looking for. So if our young people, our students are listening and they're trying to think, which direction should I go? Tell me what kind of things you're looking for and what your where your needs lie.
Yeah, so first I'm looking for somebody who has sort of a solid understanding of the cyber domain, right? That's a key word today. And what I mean really is how do computers work? How do computer infrastructures work, right? Without that sort of base understanding, it becomes more difficult for someone to be good in the cyber domain. Getting some basic hardware and software certifications that show that you have an understanding of how, you know, Unix or Windows servers work, how networks work, switches, routers, firewalls, IDS, IPS, those sort of basic mechanics of how a network is put together. And then laying on top of that, of course, an understanding of the threats, right? Why is it important to defend a network? What are the tactics that bad guys use? And I'm not looking for somebody who knows it all, because anybody in this industry that says they know it all, I question them immediately, right? That there's just so much to understand. But I think it starts with that basic sort of, again, what I would call mechanics of the cyber domain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in this local area, and I know there's so much government contracting, but what types of engagements are you kind of working with in this area, and who are you aligned with? You know, what do you know about? Well, we'll start with there, and then we'll talk about the NCC and these other organizations after you kind of give us an idea of what types of things you get involved with personally.
Yeah, so our company, Deloitte, right, we're out here and keeping client names, of course, sort of out of it. But what we're really focused on is how do we put defensive cyber operations capability on some pretty complex and customized systems, right? These aren't necessarily commodity networks. Mm-hmm. These aren't the networks that you run email and SharePoint and those sorts of things on, but more custom networks that are used for very specific mission needs. Mm-hmm. How are we getting after defense of those? And that's really something Deloitte has been focused on out here in the Springs area.
Okay. So now your organization with, you know, there's a big effort here going on in Colorado Springs, the National Cybersecurity Center.
Yes.
I know you've worked with AVSEA really close. What types of things is Deloitte engaging with in the local community to help build these, you know, Colorado Springs or Colorado as a center of cybersecurity?
Yeah, so you and I spoke before the podcast, Chris. My tagline is, you know, my goal from a branding perspective is I want you to, when you think of Colorado Springs, I want you to think of cyber. And when you think of cyber, I want you to think of Deloitte, right? Those things aren't necessarily happening today. So I am really focused on anything I can do from a community perspective to get Colorado Springs more in the forefront of cyber. I believe that Colorado Springs could be the Silicon Valley of cyber, right? Mm-hmm. We've got the right ingredients in that recipe. We've got the NCC. We've got what the Air Force Academy is doing with their CyberWorks. We've got great universities, a great platform of talent that's being grown here. And of course, we've got the DoD community, which is very focused on cyber and cyber mm-hmm. defense. So I think we've got the ingredients. And how does Deloitte how does Deloitte engage in the community to sort of sponsor and move forward those initiatives? Because it's not only great for Colorado Springs, it's great for Deloitte as well. So that's really, in a nutshell, what I'm focused on.
So a company as big as Deloitte, and I think a couple 100,000 employees worldwide, the National Cybersecurity Center, I've heard them say many times, I've had conversations with the CEO, talking about trying to put the N in NCC, trying to get this national. We have a great presence in Colorado with a DoD community, which spans a couple of hotspots in the U.S., but taking this national, I think companies like Deloitte could really help turn this the other way instead of saying, you know, how can we get involved with the NCC? How can we take what's going on here nationwide and worldwide?
Agreed. And, not to speak for the NCC, but Deloitte is obviously very engaged with the NCC, very interested in supporting them. And I think the NCC sees value for precisely what you said, right? Deloitte can help, you know, let's make this a center of excellence that everyone in nationwide is looking to, right, for how you go about doing cyber. And if you look at the bill that was passed, the funding that's headed towards the NCC, I think there's some great initiatives there that the NCC is going to head up that has the potential to be nationwide leaders in our field. That's exciting, right?
Okay. So what about the future of cybersecurity in general? Where do you see that? We talked about need right now for employment, but where do you see 5 years from now? Where is it heading? What needs to be done? We talked about before the show that, and I've heard this from many people, cybersecurity is the Wild West right now. And it's not just cybersecurity, the internet, the networks are the Wild West.
Yes.
How do we get to a point where that's not the case, and what's required to get there?
Yeah, I think, I'm going to use some buzzwords here. Big data is a problem, right? So for us to effectively defend our networks, there is way more information on those networks than our ability to defend, right? And that's why you see the advanced persistent threat, the low and slow guys. They're being so successful because we've got so much data that we're trying to parse in order to find out what's less than normal, right? Mm-hmm. We're not very good at even determining what's normal on our networks, let alone then being able to identify those anomalous conditions. Because let's face it, the threats we know about today, those aren't the important ones, right? It's the mm-hmm. ones that we don't know about. So how do we get in front of that by understanding what's normal about our networks and then, finding that needle in a stack of needles? So I think the short answer is we've got to get better at understanding what's normal about our networks, using compute memory and storage in order to process large amounts of data to find that needle in a stack of needles. And that's a big and expensive problem today that I think as compute memory and storage gets more and more commoditized will be easier and easier to do as we look out at the 3, 4, 5 year mark. And then maybe we can start to automate some of the very human intense things that we do today, right? Cyber analysis is a human problem. We have mm-hmm. tools. The tools can help us. But today, we have to teach those tools a lot about how to identify problems and defend our networks. Is it possible that 3, 4, 5 years from now with AI and big data and processing, that we can plug a black box in that says, cyber defense on the side and it has a couple flashing lights and it can go and learn about our networks and things? I think something like that is possible out in the five-year mark. But between now and then, we've got to get a handle on our networks so we can effectively defend them.
So, and I've heard, when you said AI, my interest got piqued. I've heard now, I'd say the first time I really heard this in a big way was 2014 or so, where they said, okay, we can't handle the amount of data, we can't handle the amount of network traffic, we're trying to make some use of it, but it just there's more in the growth of it and the correlation is exponential. People's ability to do anything with it is probably linear. Add more people, it's just That's over right. time. AI is going to solve this problem, was what I heard in 2014. We're all going to come up with a magic algorithm, and there's a little sarcasm in there,
yeah.
that's going to fix this in
that's
the future.
Right.
Now, some of the biggest experts I've ever listened to, what's his name? Bruce Schreiner said that the growth of data and new technology is morality agnostic. So there's going to be good use and bad use of whatever comes out.
Indeed.
So to say that a future technology like AI is going to solve the problem for good.
That's right. Yeah.
Means
it can solve the problem for bad.
Inconceivable that that's going to happen, that we're just saying some magic is going to come up.
That's
we
right.
need to solve the problem in a way looking at it differently, outside the box.
I agree with you 100%. To quote Jason Fowler, one of my guys, right? Security is hard, right? This is just a hard problem, and we're not going to be able to, I was joking when I said the black box, it says, cybersecurity on the side, and we just plug that in and
uh-huh.
hit a button and lights start flashing, right? This problem is harder than that, and how do we attack that in a way that allows us to be effective? And right now, that's just really a lot of hard work. Understanding your networks, understanding that baseline, throwing the right compute memory and storage and tools at it to help you identify, again, the needle in a stack of needles. That's where we're at today.
Hmm. So do you think maybe there's a Internet 2.0 that needs to come out and say, we start from the ground up and eventually we shift everything over to that, and that's designed with some security in mind?
Absolutely. So, as we were talking again before the show, if you really look at it, we're taking 30 and 40-year-old technology, right? Wireless is a great example of that. I mean, the 802.11 standard, we keep putting letters after, right, which is us trying to sort of re-engineer this base standard.
Mm-hmm.
But the standard's pretty old. And so we're trying to, and that goes for Ethernet, that goes for most of the standards that we're using today, and to the credit of the engineers back then, but they weren't really thinking about security when they built them. So we're trying to bolt on security, and you know, this is an overused term, but how do we bake security into these technologies? And does that mean starting over? I don't know, but I think there's certainly some reasonable argument behind the idea that, look, we need to start over again and bake defense and cybersecurity into these technologies, into these standards from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so many, you're starting to hear that come up, bubble up more and more, especially here in Colorado Springs. I've heard some of the three-letter name agencies here just say, please, somebody that has an idea, yeah, come talk to us. So we're looking at, I mean, some of these younger people that understand this stuff from growing up in it, that are doing your capture the flags, might be the next wizard that just have an idea of how to do this.
That's right.
And, you know, those, to bring those forward, the one thing I always kind of run into is, if somebody does have an idea to bring forward, how do they get that to people like yourself, to big companies, to the organizations that can take and hit the ground with it and run off with it?
Yeah, and I think the university is a great platform for that, right? That that we need to cultivate that. And again, another thing that we were talking about before the show, Chris, is, you know, our industry is sort of by nature, somewhere along the way, we're very tight to the vest, right? We've got an idea and we don't know if we want to share it, and we certainly don't want to be wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we're in the Wild West, right, I think we all need to run with scissors here and not be afraid of making a mistake, because the larger community is going to learn from that, right? So I think we all need to be a little bit more open kimono and what we're doing and what we're learning, sort of for the good of the greater ability to be more effective in the cyber domain.
Yeah, and I always say that cybersecurity is probably the biggest socio-technological problem we have. And to quote Rebecca Chopp from Denver University, she said, cybersecurity is the existential question of our age that we need to answer. Kind of like in the 70s, environmental protection was. That everybody needs to come together and work on this as a social problem. One thing I've seen almost be a hindrance to that is large companies have such a vested interest in either profiting from the data or controlling the networks and the information, that the socio solution is not shared sometimes from the larger companies down.
Yes.
Is there any thoughts as to the internal structure of you being Deloitte, one of the larger companies probably even in the world? How do you break through that kind of glass ceiling almost?
Yeah, I think it's opening up the conversation. I think it's partnerships like with organizations like AFSEA, with the NCC, where we can bring what we're learning, right, to a larger audience, right? Not for capitalist reasons, but for the good of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that sharing of information, I think, is critical, because there are a lot of organizations out there doing amazing things. And if we could share, not from an IP perspective, but just from a sort of approach and the things that we're learning, I think it's going to really help elevate the industry.
You know, though, you hit another thing, sharing. And for a couple years now, I've been on US CERT and a couple ISL sharing platforms. People are starting to share, but the information is a big conglomeration. It's like listening to a police scanner all day. It's like reading through 100 misdemeanors and parking tickets. You get overwhelmed and quit bothering. So information sharing almost seems like the big data problem, where we're going to solve it with AI in the future. But does that really, I mean, unless we have some way to weed through all the misdemeanors to find out what's really important, it's almost a glob of unhandleable information.
Yeah, so for my clients, I speak in too many metaphors, but we have to nibble away at this elephant, right? We have to figure out how we're going to go about effectively defending the networks. And effectively means, in my opinion, being threat-driven, right? What are the top 5 or 6 critical systems that run your environment? What are the top 5 or 6 critical threats against that infrastructure, those operating systems, that network topology, your exposure to other networks, right? And then, of course, on top of that, who are the personas that might be a threat, right? Are there certain people or organizations out there that are more interested in affecting your organization? And that's how we have to drive the threat. That's how we take a bunch of, 100 people in a room screaming about all the threats that are out there and start filtering to be effective. Okay, here are the things we need to focus on. We know we have this operating system, and we know these threat actors are really interested in our goods. So we're going to focus first on how we defend against those threats, right? To nibble away at the elephant. Not that the other ones aren't important, but we've got to prioritize our approach.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see, and I don't know how much of this you can divulge, the biggest pain points that you're seeing universally across different organizations, companies that are coming to you?
It's getting eyes and ears on their networks. It's understanding the boundaries of their network, believe it or not, right? And where the left and right lateral limits are for that network, mm-hmm. and then putting eyes and ears on that. Are you ingesting and tracking every log and every packet that moves across your network, right? Because if you're not, if you can't continuously monitor your cyber domain, that severely hamstrings our ability to defend it, right? There could be things happening in one segment of the network that are devastating to your organization that we just don't know about, right? Or there couldn't be. But the idea that, hey, I don't know that I've been hacked, or I've never been hacked before, why do I care? My next question is, but how would you know if you've been compromised, right? Again, not from an ambulance chaser perspective, but I caution leaders when they say, I've never had a cyber incident, or I've never been hacked. I caution them when I ask, well, how do you know that, right? You don't have eyes and ears on your network to understand whether you've been compromised. And I can tell you a lot of the threat actors out there, they score success when they've gone in and out of your network without being identified, right? So could they have been in and out of your network? You've never been hacked, but that's only because you couldn't identify it.
So getting that baseline together, that's the big
understanding
thing.
What's right about your network and then being able to monitor that. I mean, it sounds so simple, but we're missing that in a lot of places.
Okay. So Ryan from Deloitte, thanks for joining today. Kind of in closing, anything you want to get out about things you need call to action, things you need people to engage with, when the next Capture the Flag is, where can we get involved?
Yeah, so, again, for me, it's about putting Colorado Springs on the map from a cyber perspective. Absolutely. I can't tell you how much fun doing the Capture the Flag was, just having students come in and watching them. Again, watching young people, very smart young people, have a great time, that goes a long way for us. It goes a long way for me personally and what I want to help with in the Colorado Springs community. And then, of course, it's a great thing for Deloitte because, selfishly, I want to go and hire those guys and girls that are doing great work. So anything that Deloitte and Ryan Roberts can be doing to further that mission, I'm all in. And, Chris, I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you today. It's been great.
All right. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.